Chapter 18. In the days that followed the elf attack, we stayed on the lookout in case more elves came around the manor house, who we hadn't been aware of. No one else showed up, though, so it appeared our takeover had been accomplished smoothly. Ash and I spent a lot of time searching through the piles of paper in the manor house office, and this gave us some interesting information, including a few details on the times and dates of when payments were made and received. It also offered plenty of insight as to who our primary customers would be from now on. The bulk of clients in the ledgers were witches and other dark elves, but there was a questionable number of human nobles who seemed to be returning customers. Overall, though, it looked like every type of creature in Rengfree needed an orb or two once in a while, and we found enough information to make me feel we could keep the business running smoothly for now. One of my first orders of business was to purchase 4 covered wagons from a goblin. Then Ash and I pulled each one through the Grimway and into the trees beside the manor, and the wagons were dusty on the inside, but it didn't take much to clean them up, and they didn't need to be perfect. I purchased them for the imps who had spent their days trapped inside those miserable cages. I figured if I wanted to keep these imps for mining the orbs, then treating them even slightly better than the dark elves had could simplify everything for me. To ensure they wouldn't immediately flee, I gave the group of imps 5 trunks of pieces to make up for their past employment here, and then I promised a full trunk every month from here on out. Judging by their blubbering and stuttering reactions, I trusted this was more money than they had ever been given or promised in their lives. I still planned to get them a better place to stay, even though they seemed deliriously happy with the wagons, but I had to wait until I was certain we'd pull in plenty of pieces before that happened. For now, they were safe, and the cages had been destroyed, so I had a feeling they would remain both grateful and servile to the degree I required. Once the imps had been relocated, I only had the human middleman to look after, but I'd already checked that he was still at Madame Nira's manor. The aged fairy was doing all she could to see him well attended to, but he'd need a proper place to live and some pieces to get his life up and running again, especially since he'd be a crucial part of this operation. I made a mental reminder to return to the Black Fairy's coven and speak to the human in the next few days, but I had a dozen other things to attend to first. The day after we slaughtered the dark elves, Ash and I had returned to the half-elf's flat to collect the last of our weapons, and I paid Garrick handsomely for the slight damage to the sleeping area. The half-elf seemed pleased to hear his weapons served us well, and when I assured him I'd be purchasing a lot more from him in the future, he actually looked me in the eyes with a smile. Then he flinched and quickly averted his gaze, but I was glad to see we could be on friendly terms. Next, we'd revisited my troll stash, and it took 3 trips to haul the last trunks of pieces away. There had been 10 trunks of pieces stashed away in the Dark Elves' headquarters, 5 of which had been given to the imps, so this added nicely to the pile we already owned. Which was good, because the decadent food in the kitchen had been thoroughly enjoyed and almost completely devoured by the end of our 3rd day in the place. I wasn't too concerned about replacing it all, because apart from Ash purchasing another dress from the elf with the orange hair, we hadn't needed to spend any money on anything so far. I was lucky enough to be able to wear the richly designed clothes we found in the bedroom, but for our next mission, Ash wanted to have something a bit fancy to wear as well. I happily agreed, since I'd never complain about spoiling my demon lover with more dresses I could tear apart, or even some more of those fishnet stockings. This evening, we planned to seek out the red witch Ash had been stalking every day at 5 o'clock, and I chose to wear a dark royal blue velvet jacket and a white shirt from the wardrobe. Although Madame Nira had mentioned that it was best for one of us to be there at a time, we'd snuck around the alleys enough in the time that we'd been here to know how to be careful. Ash's newest dress was jade green and stopped mid-thigh, right where she liked it, and it was tied at the back with a long black ribbon. The ribbon crisscrossed across her spine to cinch the dress tight around her delicious form, and she didn't even need a corset to help emphasize her cleavage. Unfortunately, her fishnet stockings had survived their first evening with us, so she slipped them on under the dress, and she added her cape to complete the look.
"You suit the dark elf style,"
she purred as she watched me pull on my boots. "And you suit the black fairy look." She muttered and looked down.
"I don't think they've ever worn this much material in their lives."
I let out a loud laugh as I combed through my choppy hair with my fingers. It certainly would have been strange to see a black fairy wearing more than just a few scraps of material. Once we were both dressed and chose a weapon to keep in our belts, we began the walk through the Grimway, and we entered the Shadow Quarters in the direction of Pixie Lane. The Shadow Quarters had a different feel to it later on in the day, and particularly since the banquet had taken place several days ago, tensions were easing, and a small group of tinsel fairies stumbled from a tavern while they giggled and tripped over their tiny feet. Then they fluttered their white wings and lifted off into the sky, but a few of them looked as though they were about to fly their drunk bodies straight into a building. We entered an alleyway as the sun began to set and spotted three orcs snarling and spitting at each other. It was clear that something notable had happened between them, especially when the largest one threw the smallest against the wall. Then the one against the wall hooked two fingers into the eye sockets of another orc, and a loud, gargled groan filled the tight space. Ash and I snuck away before we could get wrapped up in their brawl, and both of us smothered our laughs with one hand. I did want to know what had happened between the pack of orcs, but we had a schedule to keep this evening. A few minutes later, we arrived on Pixie Lane, and as I looked in one direction for the Red Witch, Ash looked in the other. I didn't know an awful lot about witches, especially red ones, but I had a feeling they could be cunning if they wanted to be, and depending on their powers, maybe even vanish from sight if they sensed an impending threat.
Ah, there she is.
I turned, and Ash held her finger pointed in the direction of the witch. The woman wore a billowing amber cloak, and the hood of the cloak was pulled up over her head, so I couldn't make out anything about her. All I could tell was that she seemed to float gracefully through the street opposite us, and I watched intently as she came to a halt outside of a dingy stone house. A dwarf man came to the door and handed something over to her, and then she turned on her foot and walked away. From the position that I was in, I couldn't see what was handed over, but I assumed it was a money bag, because the jingle of coins came to me faintly as the witch continued toward her next stop. Ash and I crept out from our hiding place and casually walked down the street behind her, but with enough distance so as to not seem too suspicious. We trailed her for several streets without her being aware, and I couldn't help but let my mind wander to my new work while I waited for an opportune moment. According to the papers we found in my new office, a generous order of the orbs was going to be sold the following afternoon to someone named Vamir. Our human middleman would be in charge of collecting the money while the imps delivered the goods. This all seemed well enough arranged to avoid being found out so soon, and I felt confident that we'd manage to get away with what had happened so far. It was clear no one had noticed the switch in power just yet, but as I watched the witch collect the payments, it made me realize that someone, potentially this Vamir, was going to notice the disappearance of the Dark Elves soon enough. The Dark Elves were large, powerful members of the Shadow Quarters, and even if business went on as usual, some of their associates or acquaintances would catch on once they hadn't been seen for a while. There would no doubt be someone who came around causing trouble over the circumstances, possibly even the local incubi. But the notion brought a pleasant smile to my face. Just because I was in a good position here, I didn't intend to avoid having fun when it was offered to me. In fact, the idea of using my new organization to provide all sorts of deadly entertainment appealed to me quite a lot. I was certain some clients could be done away with here and there. and if they were truly disgusting beings with hideous intentions, Ash would adore the extra work. In the meantime, I would enjoy getting my hands around this fucking priest's holy throat. "Fuck, is this how far you went the first time?" I asked after we had been following the witch for over an hour.
"No, she was already in the carriage at this point, so tonight must be a bigger task for her. I've noticed she does a different path each evening. Sometimes more houses are visited and sometimes less, but they're all over this entire area."
We had practically walked an entire loop around this area of the Shadow Quarters, and there was no sign of the Red Witch stopping any time soon. The streets were practically deserted by now, as everyone went into their houses or the taverns to pass the evening hours. But this was what we'd been waiting for. It was almost time to hook ourselves a Red Witch. As our target stopped at yet another home, Ash and I started closing the 100-yard gap between us and her, but only by a little. As we came closer, I could hear her voice more clearly, and she seemed deeply displeased at the moment. It appeared as though her next goblin wasn't as willing to hand over his pieces. Even from where we stood in the shadows of the homes across the street, I could hear him snarling curses at the witch. And then she seemed to decide on a different approach. The Red Witch held both of her hands in front of her chest, and she kept her fingers spread out wide. Then she began to slowly spin her hands around each other, almost like she was holding a circular object between them. And suddenly, from the space between her palms, a red mist appeared. The mist grew larger the faster she spun her hands, and then she pushed it out toward the goblin so it engulfed his head completely. I could just barely see how his eyes glazed over and drifted in opposite directions from the magical presence. He seemed possessed, and he happily dug out his own bag of pieces for the witch, like the argument had never occurred. The Red Witch snatched the money bag away, and she stalked off down the lane without another word. The mist slowly began to evaporate the farther away she got, and it wasn't until the smoke had vanished completely that the goblin's eyes returned to normal. Then he shook his head and frowned in utter confusion, like he had no idea why he was even standing at this door. And I had to admit, I was impressed. Whoever this Red Witch was, she clearly had some useful skills, and this only convinced me further that she could be a valuable asset to us. We crossed through the alleyways again, but this time we found one that overlooked the witch's work directly from the side, instead of watching her from behind. The next house proved to have the same issue, and so the mist returned in order for her to receive the money she was after. Once the White Witch at the door had been possessed and the required pieces were collected, our target continued on her way, and as she turned a corner, I finally managed to get a good look at her. Her hair was long and dark purple, her eyes were a brilliant shade of amber, and her skin had a golden glow to it. She was dressed in a simple red dress that had a black belt around the middle and flowed down to her feet, and she was extremely petite, but with more ample curves than my muscular and erotic demon lover. She was also incredibly beautiful. The planes of her golden cheeks rounded flawlessly, and her chin pointed as elegantly as her nose did. She looked more like the wealthy princesses I'd slaughtered over the eons than a servile witch. But the look on her beautiful face conveyed more to me than most princesses ever betrayed.
"Isn't she a prize, Atticus?"
Ash purred in my ear.
"I can't wait for you to make her yours. Her body looks made to pleasure your cock, and I can't wait to see her pretty face gasp when you first penetrate her, and then fill her to the brim with your seed."
"She is delightful," I said as I continued to watch the witch. According to her facial expression, this Red Witch was sick to death of the job she was being forced to do. I imagined this was warranted, too. She apparently had to walk all over the Shadow Quarters just to hand over all the money she collected to a double-dealing priest, and then she would most likely return to her cage of a hovel. Perhaps she was over the bullshit of her life just as much as the human middleman had been. Still, the Red Witch continued to trudge toward her next stop without once taking a break. She was certainly a good worker, I couldn't argue that fact, and her satchel was bulging at the bottom from the amount of pieces inside it. It probably wouldn't be long before she stepped into the carriage and left for the night. When did the carriage appear when you followed her the other night?
I'm not exactly sure. It sort of just appeared on a street when I wasn't expecting or looking for anything else. The priest must have a list of her stops, though. He probably has the entire ordeal organized.
That makes sense. The Red Witch was nearing the last couple of houses on this street now, so she'd either turn down another and start again, or the carriage would pull up and she'd be out of our grasp. If the driver caught us interacting with the Red Witch, we'd probably end up with yet another death penalty added to our roster, and I doubted the priest would shrug off the report of a pair of demons nosing around his servant.
So, what's the plan?
Ash asked as she kept a close eye on the witch in question.
How do we make her yours?
We surround her at the first opportunity. I'll handle the talking, you keep watch.
Okay,
she said with a curt nod. Ash and I stepped out from our hiding place and slipped over to a side street. This one led to the next street, and from the direction the Red Witch turned, I knew we could intercept her path from here. Can you run down this street and cut off her path as she passes by? I whispered to Ash, with an arm pointed toward the side street. I'll follow behind her, but if you see the carriage up ahead, then stay exactly where you are. I'll know not to follow if I don't see you coming out.
You got it, Master.
My silver-haired goddess winked. I'll meet you on the other side, I smirked. I gave Ash a quick kiss before she trotted down the side street, and I followed the Red Witch down the one she was already on. She made one final stop at the house of an orc, and once she'd collected his payment without too much arguing, she heaved it up to hang it over her shoulder.
Finally,
she sighed under her breath. This confirmed my suspicion that she was done for the night, and the graceful step the witch had in her gait when the night began was long gone now. She slumped her petite frame under the weight of the loaded satchel of pieces, and she trudged around the next corner while the moonlight cast everything in stark shadows around her. Now that we were alone on the darkened street, and I was certain no one else was going to see me, I closed the distance between us a little more, but still kept enough room so as not to draw attention to myself. This deserted road held nothing but trees on one side, and the backs of the houses on the other, but no carriage waited at the other end. Then I saw Ash saunter out from a side street a few feet ahead of the Red Witch, and my adrenaline spiked in anticipation. Then Ash turned and made sure to run almost directly into the tired witch.
Oh, I do apologize,
Ash lied perfectly.
I should have watched where I was going.
She kept her head down to try and hide her bright irises, but the pink glow added color to Ash's cheeks.
Let me pass, woman,
the Red Witch replied with a sigh. That tiny interaction gave me the chance to dash behind the witch without her hearing, and I grabbed her arm and pulled her into the side street before she had the chance to react. Her satchel crashed to the ground as I pushed her body up against the wall, and I held her there with one arm and covered her mouth with my hand to stifle her scream. Then my violet eyes met her amber ones, and a look of anger crossed her features. Keep quiet! You will not scream or call for your carriage. You will listen to everything I have to say. A dark red, swirling cloud began to cover the witch's amber eyes, and instantly my limbs began to tingle. A faint numbness began traveling through them, and I knew she was casting one of her spells against me. Just like Ash had said, though, her powers didn't seem to have a very strong effect on someone like me. I wasn't sure what the spell was supposed to do, but I still had the same strength, and the numbness was only irritating, until it began to vanish, and her eyes returned to their original color. The Red Witch jolted against my strong hold on her, and I heard her fuming beneath the muzzle of my palm. Yes, I grinned. Charms don't quite work on us, I'm afraid. Now, I suggest you do as I say and stay quiet while I discuss a few things with you. Otherwise, we can do this the hard way, and I don't think the priest would be pleased to hear you disappeared along with all his payments." The witch's amber eyes flared with fury, but she stopped trying to wriggle out of my hold. I felt her muscles relax, while I noticed her ample cleavage rising and falling more steadily beneath my arm. Then the fury ebbed from her eyes, and she nodded just once. So I slowly removed my hand from her mouth, and I found her plump lips pursed in irritation.
"You know about the priest?"
Ash smothered back her laugh as she glanced over her shoulder from the mouth of the street.
"We know a lot more than that." "Then what do you want?" "Master,"
Ash suddenly hissed, and she stepped backward into the shadows with us. From further up the street, a rattling noise began to echo. It sounded like the clattering of wood mixed with the gentle trotting of two horses, and I instantly knew what had caused it. "Get back," I said to Ash as I dragged the Red Witch further down the side street. The carriage would pass here any moment, and while I figured I could send the Red Witch out a little late without drawing too much suspicion, I wanted to keep this as quick and as clean as possible. "I have a business proposition for you," I informed the amber-eyed woman as the rattling drew closer.
"A business proposition?"
the Red Witch repeated, and she arched a slender, dark purple eyebrow.
"I'm already employed, obviously."
"Yes, I know," I nodded, but then a grin hitched at one corner of my lips. "But how would you like a way out of the priest's clutches? How would you like it if we worked out a perfect escape for you that would set you up in much better conditions for the rest of your life?"
"Oh? And who are you?"
the Red Witch narrowed her pretty eyes. "It's not about who I am, but what I am. And you aren't a very good witch if you can't figure that out."
"I..."
she started to say as her gaze drifted over the clothes I wore. The clean, crisp, and clearly expensive clothes I had stolen from the dark elves I'd recently slaughtered. I let her think it over as the carriage rattled past the side street without stopping, and I took the opportunity to admire how soft and supple her long purple hair was, and how nicely it fell around her ample cleavage. By the time I finished memorizing the pillowy view of her breasts wedged under my arm, the Red Witch was looking me in the eyes again, and she had a soft smirk on her plump lips.
"I think I'd like that very much. I think I like your eyes, too, demon. I think I'd like more than your eyes, also." "Yes, you will, indeed,"
Ash snickered beside me as the distant carriage clattered to a stop somewhere further down the road.
"Soon you'll call him master."
The Red Witch hummed as her eyes roamed over my face and chest.
"Perhaps. If you can do what you say you can, then..."
"You are a prize worth taking. There won't be a problem. Trust me." I didn't take my gaze off the pretty witch.
"Then, when can we begin?"
The beautiful Red Witch blushed in the moonlight. "Soon." End of book 1.